What a great and penetrating question. Will you love Jesus more when we go our different ways? Will you love Jesus more than what? Will you love Jesus more than you do now? Will you love Jesus more than baseball? Will you love Jesus more than shopping? Will you love Jesus more than anything? I have some friends that whenever you see them, they're excited to tell you something. Is it more about what great fun they had playing golf, or is it they want to tell you more about how the Red Sox are ahead of the Yankees? Got two Snickers there. Will you love Jesus more? I think if we do love Jesus more than these other things, or if we do love Jesus more and more and more, we'll want to be telling people more about that than more about some of the other things. We've been thinking and speaking about what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Just thinking about the characteristics, about what the Bible says, about what it means to be a disciple. What it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to think just for a couple of minutes about the first song that we sang. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. The person who wrote this had an overwhelming desire to have more than one tongue, to have 1,000 tongues to praise God, to tell people, whether in song or word and or deed, about Jesus, about who He is, about what Jesus had done in His life, that he would want to have 1,000 tongues to be speaking to others about Jesus, to tell other people about the glories of our God and King, about how wonderful God is, about how glorious He is, and to tell other people about the triumphs of His grace, about what God's grace had done in his or her life. You know, is that what our lives are about? Are we more interested in talking with people about how the stock market's doing? Then he goes on, Jesus, the name that charms our fears. Are you a person who struggles with fear and worry and anxiety? Draw near to Jesus. He calms and charms our fears. He bids our sorrows cease. We all deal with sorrow and loss. He helps us with that. Jesus is the name that it's music to a disciple's ears. Do you love to hear about Jesus and His Word? Yes. It's life and health and peace. The writer of the hymn goes on, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. That's you and you and you and me. The foulest, the worst. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, the foulest. His blood availed for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb. your loosened tongues employ. Use your tongue, he says. Put your tongue to work praising God, because a disciple lives a life of praise. In the last verse of that hymn, my gracious master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. See, this is a prayer asking God to help him praise him, to help him tell other people about him. This hymn describes a life of praise. And a disciple lives a life of praise. Would you turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 71, which Brett read for us this morning? There's like 14 different times the psalmist indicates how he's going to praise God in this psalm. The first four verses would be a prayer for help from God. If you, O Lord, I have taken refuge, let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. Now, whether we face those same kind of circumstances or some other difficulty or some other struggle, we still cry out to God for deliverance. The psalmist turned to the Lord, praying for deliverance from the wicked. His request is filled with the expressions of his confidence in God's ability to save. God is his refuge. God is his rock. God is his fortress. You know, is that us? Does that describe you? Does that describe me? That God is my refuge and God is my strength. He's the rock that I stand on. Or am I trusting in all myself and the work that I do, whatever I've saved up or whatever I've got? Do we trust in ourselves or are we trusting in him? And then in verses 5 to 13 is a prayer from a lifelong trust of God. You may be a new Christian and maybe you don't have a lifelong trust of God. You can build this lifelong trust of God. The psalmist affirmed his confidence in the Lord in spite of his afflictions. God was his hope in the one in whom he trusted from his youth. And some of you are Christians who've been Christians a long, long time, and you know what it means to have trusted him since your youth. Though many wondered at him, he would continue to trust in the Lord and he would praise him. The psalmist prayed for continued care in his old age, for many sought to harm him, and many would seek to bring us down individually and collectively, to bring us down as effective Christian disciples of Jesus Christ. But in these last 10 or 11 verses, this continuation of a life of praise, because the aging psalmist had trusted the Lord all his life, he vowed to continue to praise God for the things that God was going to do in the future, for future deliverances. Look at verse 14. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. If God would have put the microscope of faith on your life today, would he find that you're praising him more and more, or maybe less and less, or maybe not at all? Does your life itself bring a praise to God? When people look at you and say, look at that person, their whole life is just a praise to the Lord because of who they are and what they do and how they minister to others and how they serve and how they help and how they bring glory to God and how they tell other people about Jesus. Verse 15, my mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long. though I know not its measure. Who can understand the depths of God's salvation? You know, in our shallowness sometimes we just, oh man, I'm a Christian and it's so nice. And I don't, that's about all we can get out. You know, look what God has rescued us from. In our Sunday school class this morning, we brought the Sunday paper in and we were looking in the book of Habakkuk, how Habakkuk cries out to God, look, God, there's violence all over the place here and the bad guys are winning over the good guys, and why don't you do something? Do we realize what, as Christians, our position in what we have been spared from out there, what we have been freed from? If we did, our voices would be raised constantly in praise to God. Verse 16, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. You know, have you told anybody else about the righteous or the mighty acts of God in your life this week? 17, since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O Lord, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Do you have any concern at all for the next generation? You'll be telling them about what God's done in your life in the past, what he's doing today, and what he's going to do for you in the future. Do we believe he's going to do anything? Yes. And we tell others about it. I know a number of you have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and other people in your lives, that next generation and the next generation, that you have been a wonderful example to, and that you have praised God with your lives, and that you have declared what God has done in your lives. Thank you. You're wonderful examples of a life, living a life of praise. And we should maybe be better students of our older generation. Maybe we should be watching them a little more carefully to see how it's done. I praise God for the senior citizens that meet here on Wednesdays called Friendship. Some of them are older than I am. Really? But they're wonderful examples of a life being lived as a praise to God. Will we go out of here this afternoon and just go about our business as usual? Or will we have a message to take to the nations, whether it be across the ocean or in our backyard? Will our lives be a praise to God? Even when we are old and gray. Skip down with me, if you will, to verse 22. Psalmist goes on, I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. I, whom you have redeemed, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. All day long, twice in that psalm, he says, all day long, not just for an hour on Sunday morning, all day long, every day long. Praise the Lord. The writer of this psalm lived a life of praise, and he was counting on doing that through his old age. Turn way back in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Chronicles. And I always remember it's 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, because they're in alphabetical order in the reverse. So that probably didn't help more than three of you. But 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. I found 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, back in chapter 15, we see that the ark has been brought to Jerusalem. And in chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, David is giving a prayer of thanks. Verse 7, that day David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, sing to him and sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. He begins this fairly lengthy prayer that goes on through verse 36 with all of this command to sing to the Lord, sing praise to the Lord. Tell people about what God has done in your life. If you skip down to verse 25, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Verse 28, ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord. Over and over again, these words about how to sing praise to the Lord. And he closes up here in verse 35. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord of the God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen and praise the Lord. It's like, thank you. Here is David, and he's just bringing all these people together and saying, we're going to praise God for what he's done. Praise him from now until eternity. When we look in Revelation, that's what we'll be doing in heaven as well. Just praising God for who he is and for what he's done with our lives. As we're in 1 Chronicles, turn with me to chapter 29, please. Living a life of praise. Here at the end of David's life, another prayer in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In the first 9 verses, we see a couple of paragraphs there about gifts for building the temple. David had wanted to build a temple to the Lord our God. God said, no, I'm going to have your son do that. But David was allowed to gather all these gifts. And if you read those first 9 verses, you'll see all of the gold and all the silver and all the precious stones and the wood and all the things that were going to be used in building this temple were brought together. And David oversaw that. But in verse 10, he begins this prayer. Verse 10, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord God of Israel, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the way down through here, David's prayer, praise to the Lord. And then you see Solomon becomes king and David dies. His life was a praise to the Lord. Psalm 63, if you will, just another 100 pages towards the middle of your Bible. Psalm 63. Psalm 63, another psalm of David. Here we see seeking God, finding God, and praising God. Verse 1, seeking God. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. All right, so who are the seekers? The seekers are the ones who know God. You and I are the seekers. We should be seeking God continually and constantly in our lives. I wonder how much time I spend seeking God. Is it a quick prayer and out the door? Is it a quick one verse and away we go? How much time do we spend, you and I, seeking God, spending time alone with Him, in His Word, in prayer? The psalmist said, I seek you, earnestly seek you. Verse 2, finding God. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. See, he came to understand. He came to know God. He came to where God was, and he knew him, and he understood his power and his glory. We find that as we spend time in his word. But the big idea here is in verses 3 to 11, praising God. We are seeking God, we find God, and we praise God. Verse 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. We can just begin to understand the love of God. We can just barely begin to see how much God loves us. Now the psalmist says here, because God's love for us is better than life. Does that get to us at all? You know, do you and I understand that God's love for us is better than life? Or is staying alive the most important thing we can think of? He says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I'm going to say something. He's like, whoever, get out of the way, or just listen up. I'm going to speak about God. I'm going to glorify God with my lips. Verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live. Verse 6, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Verse 11, but the king will rejoice in God, who all who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silent. According to that, there's only two kinds of people. People who praise God and people who are liars. Seeking God, finding God, results in praising God. You're pretty quiet right now, but when you leave, you shouldn't be. Quiet's good while you're hearing, but when you're out there, it won't be. Psalm 103. David lived a life of praise. Psalm 103. Just a couple more passages here, and we'll get to the point. Psalm 103 is kind of two brackets of praise the Lord. In the first two verses, we'll see praise the Lord three times. In the closing, we'll see the praise the Lord three more times, and one at the end for good measure. So, praise the Lord, verses 1 and 2. Here it is. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, three commands there, praise the Lord. Now, as we've said before, it's not just running around hollering, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. People are going to think, wait a minute, stop and tell us what you're praising the Lord for. Why are you praising the Lord? So it's more than just mouthing some words that say, praise the Lord. We're going to tell people who he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do. Praise the Lord. And then in the middle from verses 3 to 19, we won't go through all of them, but he lists out a whole bunch of reasons to praise the Lord. So if you're sitting there saying, well, boy, my life's been pretty quiet. I know I'm willing to praise the Lord, but I don't know what to praise him for. Well, just read through this psalm and you'll get some ideas about his forgiveness in verse 3, about his redemption in verse 4, about his satisfying, about his righteousness and his justice and the things that he has made known and his compassion. Over and over again, all these reasons to praise the Lord. I was delighted this week to see somebody posted on Facebook that their family was going to go through a day and find things that they could praise the Lord about. We could all do that. And then when we get to the end of Psalm 103, verse 20, again, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. See, that comes from the inside out. And you may be saying, well, it's in there, but it's not coming out. Been there, done that. Let it out. Praise the Lord in word, in thought, in deed. The psalmist lived a life of praise. A disciple of Jesus Christ lives a life of praise. You say, when's he going to get in the New Testament? Right now. The book of Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 15. Romans 15. Now, Paul has laid out the whole thing here in the gospel according to Paul, Romans. The wrath of God, the grace of God, the will of God, and the plan of God. Chapter 15. He's nearing the end of this letter. Begin with me in verse 1 of Matthew 15. It's all about bearing with one another. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. So we're supposed to be building one another up. That'll be a praise to the Lord when we do that, as we do that. Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So as we persevere, as we stick in the scriptures, we will have hope. Hope will grow. Then verses 5 and 6, a spirit of unity so that God would be glorified. Verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we did when we started our service, when we all sang together. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. We were glorifying God together in one spirit. That's the great thing about singing, congregational singing. We could read those words, and it would be the same. But we're singing them together. It makes it easier and pleasant. But it's that unity with which we glorify God as we sing about him and to him. Okay. Then not only bearing with one another a spirit of unity to glorify God. That's the main goal here. That's the big idea, to bring glory to God. In our praise and worship, in our the life of praise that we're going to live. So then verses 7 to 13, he underlines this praise to God. Verse 7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. We probably never thought of that before, that when we accept one another, I mean, isn't that hard? I mean, you're so different from me. And he's so really different. And she's kind of different. And, you know, it's hard to accept one another as we are and let God bring about the changes in our lives. But when we do that, God is praised. Verse 8, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. And then he goes on to quote some things that are written about praising God in the Old Testament. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. It's for everyone, the Jews and the Gentiles, to come together in Christ, gathering one another, accepting one another, and God is praised. I'm confident that God is being praised here this morning from the start to the finish, because our focus is on Him. The things that we sang about were Him. The psalm that we read was about Him. The message is about praising Him. God is going to be glorified in that as we praise Him. So the psalmist lived a life of praise. The church lives a life of praise. You and I as individuals live a life of praise. A growing, loving relationship with our Lord and an apprehension, an understanding of His word and His worth should result in a lifelong life of praise. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 13:15, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name." See, it's a sacrifice of praise to Him when we confess His name. So we're going to go out there this afternoon. We're going to go out there Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and every day for the rest of our lives, as long as we live, and praise Him to other people. Some of them will say, "Amen." Some of them will say, "What are you talking about? Sit down here and talk to me." Some of them will just blow you off and send you packing. It's okay. God will sort it out. I praise God that I was born the middle child of seven. And whatever that means, middle child, you know. I praise God that I grew up in poverty and I didn't even know it. See, I praise God that I went to church and Sunday school as a child. Yeah, it went in one ear and out the other. I memorized a few verses and it went out through here, but it never got down in here. But I praise God for that. I praise God that He watched over me in years of rebellion. And yes, I knew I was running from God. But He was there. He watched over me. I praise God that He's given me a wonderful wife, 2 children. I praise Him for the testimony of this church. I praise Him for a faithful pastor who witnessed to me over a long period of time. I praise God that He saved me. I praise God that He changed my life, and I praise God that He wants to change it some more. I praise God that He promised never to leave me or forsake me. I praise Him that He says He has a plan for my life. And I praise Him that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil. I praise Him that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I praise Him that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How about you? You know, as we sing, I just marvel. Most Sunday mornings, as I'm thinking through and just looking at what this message is going to be about, I have a hymnal in that study, and I most Sunday mornings have that open. And there's just some wonderful things in there about truth from God's word about praising the Lord. You know, we sing songs like, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." That's praising the Lord. "Praise to the Lord the Almighty." Praising the Lord. "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Blessed be the name. His name is wonderful. I just came to praise the Lord." I know you want me to sing these, but I'm not going to do that. Maybe you don't want me to. "May Jesus Christ be praised. Praise the Savior, ye who know Him, who can tell how much we owe Him." There's just something about that name. It's not just for an hour or so here on Sunday morning. It's to be the description of our lives. Wouldn't we want people, when we get that checkered flag thingy there, wouldn't we want people to say, her life was just a praise to the Lord. His life was a praise to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed we do confess that our lives don't demonstrate enough of what your word talks about when it talks about living a life of praise. I thank you for your word. I thank you for these descriptions that we find in your word about what a follower of Jesus Christ is like and what he and she looks like and sounds like. Lord, thank you for the truths of your word that we find about living a life of praise to you. Yes, it's with our lips. It's in what we declare and what we say to other people. But that's backed up, and there's a foundation in our lives that we've walked with you, that we've spent time with you, that we know you, that we love you. And that praise just flows out of that relationship that we have with you. Father, this morning I pray for anyone who's here this morning seeking, searching, looking, asking questions that doesn't know you personally as their Savior and the best friend they have in the whole world. I pray that you'd prompt them to look to you this morning by your Spirit, that they would just cry out to you and ask you to save them and make them your child. And that anyone here in this congregation who does know you would be approachable to help them understand what your word says. Lord, help each of us understand this morning what you have for us in these words from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. And we thank you and praise you for it every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.